joined by Alistair Spence-Clark. Alistair, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles, on this gloomy morning, I should say, where I am anyway.
Exactly. Well, it's a perfect day for doing your income tax returns, I would say.
It is, yeah. There's no point going to the beach today, so everyone get their income tax returns out and start filling them in. We've only got a few days left. Well, a couple of weeks, actually.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about it, because, I mean, you know, as I said before off air, income tax returns come in, I go into shock. So what's the deadlines, etc., we need to know on this one?
Yeah, the real deadline is the 25th of June. Yes, you can file until the 30th, but if you have to pay, it gets very, very complicated after the 25th of June because of the way that you have to organise the payment. So people should think in terms of getting everything done well before the 25th of June, so it's not the last moment. Basically, you've got a few weeks, get it organised, because firms like ours are seriously backed up with work now, and we're having difficulty taking on anybody new. So if anyone wants to and hasn't made proper arrangements yet, they need to phone us very, very quickly. Okay?
Yep. There's also a thing about, can you split your tax payments?
No. Right. This is actually, I've been in Spain since 19, well, permanently since 89, and it's always been the case that you could split your tax payment into two chunks. You pay your first chunk at the end of June, and that's 60%. And then you pay 40% at the start of November. The crucial thing, though, is people forget about the November payment. You don't want to do that because it's direct debited. You've got to make sure the money is in the bank account. So put that in your diary if you're going to use that option. You don't have to. You can pay 100% straight away. But you know, a lot of people like to split it into two chunks.
Makes it a little bit more manageable. Okay, so we'll keep our eyes peeled for that one. But it's the 30th of June, which is the returns
deadline. Yeah, but 25th is the practical deadline for people who have to pay.
Okay. Good to see. Now, Erte.
Yeah, now the second thing is, and that's actually sort of related to the tax return, is that people who've been put on furlough or ERTE have received money from the social security system effectively. And the social security system doesn't deduct tax from the amounts that it pays. So therefore, a lot of people are going to be caught out because normally their income is from their company, from their employment, is subject to withholding tax. PAYE in the UK, but the ERTE income is not. So therefore, they've received that income, and they may have tax to pay, which they're not expecting. So this is something to be careful. It's taxable income, even though it comes from the social security system. The good thing, if there is a good thing about paying tax, particularly if you've had your income destroyed by COVID, is that the government has introduced a special scheme where people who have ERTE income and have to pay tax, they can spread it out over the next 6 months. They pay a monthly payment. So that's quite a civilized way of doing it. Again, it's an option you have to exercise. But it's something that a lot of people won't know about when they fill in their tax return.
So if you thought that the ERTE was, you know, Santa Claus had come early and was giving you free money, if you like, then that isn't the situation.
No, it's money is handed to you with the left hand and taken away with the right. you think, well, you know, it's income after all. At the end of the day, it's income. So just like pension is income, and so tax has to be taken out. It's just that people are not well prepared for it. That's the problem. And I think foreigners in Spain have difficulty keeping up to date with what's going on because, of course, they're not so connected with newspapers. And hence I'm on this radio program trying to pass on some of the information which is useful.
Yeah, so don't get caught out with the ERTE income as well. And talking about sort of ERTE and what's referred to as this, that, and the other, or otherwise known as COVID. I mean, a lot of people were stuck here. I mean, there are worse places to be isolated, I suppose, or to be, you know, self-isolating. But, you know, a lot of people may have that. Will that have any effect on their tax situation?
Unfortunately, yes. A lot of people got stuck here, you know, at the end of middle of March. And they couldn't move. I mean, Spain was in complete lockdown. I think it was the 22nd of June, 21st. Anyway, in that time, you couldn't go anywhere. I mean, in an emergency, you could go other, but most people just sort of hunkered down and did nothing. So, and as you say, it's not a bad place to be locked down. The problem is that there's been no allowance made by the Spanish tax office for people who were not able to move, leave Spain. And so a lot of people have exceeded their 6 months in 2020 because of the lockdown and because of the problems with travel. I mean, it wasn't just that lockdown period. There were travel restrictions at the end of the year as well. So a lot of people have asked the question, I was forced to live in Spain. Surely that's not going to affect me. Unfortunately, it is. And in fact, the government, the tax department issued a ruling in the middle of last year, I think it was around about July, in response to a question put by a Lebanese couple who got locked down in Spain. And they asked, you know, as I've been stuck here and I couldn't travel, are you going to force me to pay tax in Spain because I spent more than 6 months here? And the answer is the tax office came back and said yes. In very simple words, they said that we're not making any allowances, which is contrary to what the OECD said that countries should do, and countries like the UK did. They've made no allowance for the problems of COVID, contrary to what the International Financial Organization has said. So that's a bit of a shame. Well, so I mean, people should be aware of that.
I mean, with the greatest respect to the Spanish tax system or whatever, that seems to be their default position, doesn't it, basically?
Not yet.
Right. Moving swiftly onwards, I think, before I get myself in more trouble. There's some new rules coming in for employers.
Yeah, this is a bit of a mixed bag of news, but these are all kind of interesting things. Employers now need to keep a register showing the average income paid by category of employee, male and female, in order to prove, if requested, that they have no discrimination of pay to the different genders that they employ. We only have to worry about men and women. We don't have to worry about any other non-binary.
Let's not even go there to this morning, okay?
Well, I mean, at the moment, who knows next year? The Ministry of Inclusion and Funny Walks might come up with some new rules.
That's a definite niet and whatever else, as we were discussing a minute ago. But anyway.
Well, the point I want to make is employers need to make sure that they've got that organized. And if they haven't got it organized and they have a labor inspection, you'll be amazed at the fines that they will get. And they will not be happy bunnies. So make sure that you've got it sorted if you're an employer, or that your gestoría or your labor assessor has got this sorted, because the Social Security Office, when they inspect you, will not take any excuses.
And also, looking at the if you are in the situation that you've just bought a property, there's been a reduction of ITP.
Yeah, ITP is the tax that you pay when you buy a second-hand property, i.e. not from a developer. And it was 8 to 10% until recently. And the government, in order that this is the Andalusian government, incidentally, the Andalusian government has introduced a flat rate of 7% for the purchase of properties. And that runs out until on the 31st of December 2021. Now, they're obviously trying to get the market moving again. And actually, the market is moving, particularly at the upper end of the prices. But they want to get all the market moving. And so this is to encourage people that if they're interested in buying somewhere, they should buy it now, because on the 1st of January next year, it's going to go back up to 8 to 10%.
Right, then, so get in there quickly. And finally, on the news, on the snippets, if you like, as we would call them, Brexit, or the fact that, you know, Brits are no longer European Union citizens, and several of them, you're saying, haven't realised that this has an impact.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame people for this. I mean, everything sort of because of COVID and because we're not traveling as, you know, as we used to do, people, there's a kind of blind spot. So Brits arriving from the UK or wanting to move to Spain to work or to set up as self-employed, you know, they might want to be consultants and all the rest of it, they can't just do this anymore. You might as well be Russian or Chinese or American or something. You're not allowed to come to Spain to work without the necessary visa. If you want to come to Spain to live, you can't go and get what's called the non-lucrative visa, which is the visa which you get if you can prove you have enough financial resources to live in Spain. And Spain will give you quite happily a visa if you can prove, I think it's about 27,000 euros in the bank.
Right.
Or you've got an income which is equivalent to that. Spain will not allow you to come here to work. And so you have to apply for a work permit visa, which is a completely different animal to the non-lucrative visa, which is very simple. As the specialists in this field are saying, we don't really want to deal with this yet because it's complicated and we don't know what the authorities are going to demand. So some of the specialized gestorías who deal with these sort of visas are actually saying, can we deal with this in 3 months' time? Because we want to see what the authorities are going to do. Anyway, it will get resolved. This is not the end of the world. It will get resolved, but we're in the transition period. And so people are suggesting let's let the dust settle on the system before being making an application. If you have to, just get it done. If it's something you're planning to do, I would leave it for a few months.
We will see where that one goes there, but it's going to be very interesting, to put it mildly.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Now, looking at some of the other sort of the major things, let me get this right on the income tax. If you were living in Spain but you do a period of work abroad, there's a new allowance, is there?
No, it's not a new allowance, but right. Yes, there is an allowance, okay. And it's a generous allowance. So if you work abroad, you are entitled to earn 60,100 euros, completely tax-free in Spain. So, typically, you know, you've gone abroad to do a contract, I don't know, you might be going to, Saudi Arabia, for example, and you've gone there to do some engineering work or work on a pipeline or whatever, and you go there for 4 months, say, and you come back to Spain. Now, your family's in Spain, everything's in Spain. You're obviously a Spanish resident.
Right.
And effectively, the income that you earn whilst you're abroad is tax-free to the extent of 60,100. Now, that affects a lot of people, and particularly a lot of Brits, who are living in Spain with their families, but they're working on oil rigs, they're working on ships, they're working in a foreign industry for relatively short periods of time, so they remain resident in Spain. So it is a very, very useful tax break. A lot of these people, Giles, actually think they're not resident because they're earning money abroad. That's not true. If your family is in Spain, your home is in Spain, you're resident of Spain. And therefore, you must file a tax return. And with this 60,100 tax-free income, there's absolutely no reason why you don't file a tax return.
Mm. Is there any sort of limit on or any sort of restrictions on what the business is? I mean, in terms of, you know, does it have to be can it be a Spanish business with a subsidiary in Saudi or something like that? Or can you be working for a Spanish company abroad and claim it as claim this 60,100?
Yeah, the basic rule is that you have to be working for a foreign country, for a foreign company in a foreign country. So the employer must be a foreign, non-Spanish employer. In the case of a Spanish employer, however, it is possible as long as a Spanish company has an establishment in the other country, a permanent establishment. They might have an office center, or they may be involved in a contract to build something. So as long as the beneficiary of your work is a foreign entity or a Spanish entity with a foreign subsidiary or foreign permanent establishment, you're entitled to claim the benefit. If you've got a Spanish employer and you simply go and work abroad, you're not entitled to the 60,100. It has to be a foreign entity that employs you.
So, I mean, if you were working for a Spanish company and they sent you to the UK, for example, that wouldn't apply.
No, it wouldn't, because you're working for a Spanish company. Okay. Now, if you imagine Santander, for example, Santander, you know, Spanish bank, we all know it, but they have a Spanish company. Sorry, they have a UK company.
Yeah.
So if you're an executive in Santander and you're being seconded to the UK to sort something out, then as long as your new employer, your employer is the UK part of Santander, you're entitled to the tax break.
Got a phone call on here. Let's see. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. Do you have a question for Alistair?
Hi, it's Dave from The Daily, Giles. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dave.
Just quickly, I can only hear you. I can't hear Spence Clark and co. So on the phone, so I'll hang up. I earn some money from the UK, which is for being a missionary, and it's paid into a bank account in the UK. That's every month. So I was intrigued with this comment earlier about the earning money abroad. Is that only for a, like, 3-month, 2-month period? If I was paid every month, Would that mean it was exempt? Because I'm trying to make as much money as I can, basically. But basically, I get paid every month, so it's almost like a wage from the UK. So I can't hear Alistair, so I'll hang up, mate, if that's okay.
All right, Dave, thanks for that one. Did you get that one, Alistair?
Yeah, I could. I hope everyone else can hear me.
I can hear you fine. I hope so. Because, yes.
Yeah, to answer Dave's question, if Dave is working in the UK for a UK organisation and receiving pay for that work, then that pay is subject to this exemption. If Dave is actually working in Spain for a UK organisation, that doesn't apply.
Right.
You've got to work in the foreign country and you've got to work for a foreign employer.
And also, it can't. Am I correct? It can't be a tax haven. You can't work in Monaco. You can't work in. Yeah,
absolutely right. So, for example, Venezuela. Not Venezuela, but let's just say you were working
Monaco, for example. That sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're working, let's just say you're a chef and you were given a fantastic job in Monaco to run a vegan restaurant. I had to put that in.
Of course.
And you go and work there for 6 months, and you know your employer is a Monegasque employer. You're obviously working in a Monaco restaurant, so that would be exempt income up to the tune of 60,100. And actually, there's a nice little trick in this, and this is subject to a ruling that the tax office issued, and that is, if the other country doesn't actually, I mean, the idea is the other country is going to charge you tax on your salary. But the odd thing is, in these rules, is that if the other country doesn't charge you any tax in that salary, effectively, Spain doesn't tax you, the other country doesn't tax you, so you actually earn that income tax-free.
Ah, okay, an interesting one. We've got another caller on, you see, all these people who are earning money overseas and things. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question for Alistair, please?
Hello, Giles, it's Rosalind.
Hello, Rosalind.
I'd like to... Yes, I have a question for Alistair also. So, My employer is an overseas company. I do not work in Spain. I work online, teaching English online internationally. So I have a foreign employer. I'm not actually an employee because I'm paid simply by the work I do, and I'm not paid in Spain.
Hi, Rosalind.
Does come into my Spanish bank account.
I'd love to give you good news, Rosalind, but I'm afraid not. This tax break only applies to employees, not to self-employed people, number one. And number two, the work has to be performed outside of Spain. You can't be working online physically in Spain, because that's working in Spain. You've got to be physically in the other country.
Did you hear that, Rosalind? You've got to be physically in the other country, Rosalind. That's the thing.
Sorry about that.
You have to be physically in the other country.
Correct, yes.
But I'm working in another country. I'm working in other countries.
No, but you're not physically working. You're working online, Rosalind, aren't you?
I'm working online, yeah.
Yeah, you're not physically in the country then, because you're working online.
I know. I understand that, Giles. But are you sure that is specified?
I'm 100% certain, Rosalind. I'm really sorry.
Sure,
if you were physically in another country whilst you were doing this work, then fine. And you were an employee, i.e. with an employment contract, not a service contract or anything. If you're an employee of a country and you're working online, but you're sitting in Switzerland doing that work, okay,
would
qualify.
Hear.
But if you're sitting in Spain doing that work, you would not qualify.
Okay, Rosalind, thanks very much for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Okay.
Very interesting question, actually. Very topical, because so many people are working online. Anyway, anyone wants to read a bit, you know, read the detail of that, I've posted an article on our webpage called, and it's one of the very first ones that you find. So if anyone wants to go into the detail, they can do that, read that, and, of course, phone me or phone my office. Anybody in my office will be able to help you with that.
And there's also something about for social security systems for autónomos. Yes, the poor autónomos, the freelancers, the self-employed, who are showered with bounty from the Spanish system.
Yeah, I'm afraid, I put an article up. We don't have an awful lot of time, Giles, but I put a good article up there which explains the whole thing. We have an autonomous social security system which is antiquated, to say the least, and it seems to be incapable of sensible reform. The self-employed pay around $260, $280 a month for the benefit of being self-employed. And the problem with that, apart from the special deal you get for the first couple of years as a new self-employed person, you're paying the best part of 3,000 euros a year, regardless of how much you earn. And that forces an awful lot of people into the black economy. The issue here is that if you work part-time, you do 3 or 4 hours a week or even 2 or 3 hours a day, the social security is going to take an enormous bite out of your income, which of course what people do is say, well, I'm not going to pay. So what they've done is they've reformed the system, or they're proposing a reform to the system, but it's an insane reform, and I'm really angry with the way that the Social Security Office has done this. I mean, to give you an example, when the system is fully in place, what the proposal says is people only pay 90 euros a month as long as they earn less than 3,000 euros a year. Now, that's 90 euros a month is 1,080 euros per annum. For somebody earning 3,000 euros, that's 36% social security. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, and exactly. I mean, it's the sliding scale, but it just doesn't make sense, does it?
And that's it makes no sense at all. And when you get somebody on a higher income, somebody earning 50,000 more or less, 49,000, they're going to pay 1,220 a month. That's 15,000 a year. 14,640 a year instead of what they're paying at the moment, which is 3,000 a year. So, the higher earners are also being disadvantaged. Nobody wins in the new system, nobody at all. If you go to the UK, you can earn 6,500, I think it is, completely social security free. Between 6,500 and 9,500, you only pay £150 in a year.
Well,
I mean, you compare that to Spanish system, it's insane. The same applies in Germany. I did a bit of background studying, and the German system is also very kind to people who are part-time employed. You can earn 5,000 a year there without paying a penny of social security. So the Spanish system basically is forcing people into the black economy. Crazy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I've long argued, because I've been here for a while as well, that as you've wrote in the article, detached from reality, and the functionaries who come up with these rules for the autonomos obviously have never had to struggle to be an autonomo.
No, I mean, in fact, the ambition of most people in Spain is to become a funcionario.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not surprised. So they can come up with these insane rules and persecute the actual productive part of the economy that pays their wages.
Anyway,
you can call me the angry accountant, but basically
that'd be a great new tagline. Alistair, if people want to find or got some more questions for you, where can they find you?
angryaccountant.com. Okay, you can find me at spenceclark.com, which is easy to remember, I think. And type Spence Clark on your browser, you'll find us anyway. Or you can phone us at 952822943, and you'll find the people in my office are extremely helpful and delighted to speak to new people. So, and we all speak English, of course.
Of course. Alistair, as always, great to speak to you. Have a great, enjoy thank this you. Cloudy day, perfect for filling in all those forms. Alistair Spence Clark, thank you so much for your time today.
Many thanks, Giles. See you.